Hey, everybody, welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. This is Coach Phil Houston. I'm back with you today. I've got an exciting episode today. It depends on your perspective, I guess. Before we get to that, how to reach me on my socials. So on Twitter, it's at Phil Houston, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. The website is coachphilhouston.com. Again, spell that last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. On Instagram, at Coach Phil Houston, and on Facebook, at Coach Phil Houston. Now, jumping right into today's topic, I want to thank you for being with me today. Are you overeating? I've got six reasons for you to stop today. All right, very simple. Look, let's be honest. During this whole COVID-19 pandemic lockdown nonsense, don't even get me started there. You've indulged on an oversized meal at least once or twice, maybe an extra cocktail, an extra slice of pizza, some sweets, a second helping of comfort food. Occasional overeating probably won't ruin your health. There's a lot of science on that as well. But making it a habit is a recipe for serious health issues. And I'm going to give you some reasons not to right now. But even during the stay-at-home orders, the grocery store, convenience store, liquor store, and takeout restaurants, they were all still available to you, okay? So this massive variety of food choices, complete with easy snacks and convenience foods and a seemingly endless supply of rich sugar and fat-laden comfort foods, they were right there at your disposal. All you had to do was walk in with that stupid mask on and get them, all right? Now, these things are most often sold in portion sizes that are way bigger than the recommended portion size. So what looks like a reasonable amount of food can often be far in excess of the calories and macronutrient quantities your body actually needs. Now, if you're unaware of the correct portion sizes, overeating is easy to do, especially with these foods that are so comforting and so delicious. Now, here's six reasons for you to pay attention to portion sizes and the macronutrient content of the food you eat. It's not one or the other. It's a two-way street, and it's two parts to this thing. Number one, you'll be sleepy. Now, you may be grumpy and dopey too. Hey, have you heard of reactive hypoglycemia? If not, it's okay. You might have been sleepy that day in biology. Yeah, I'll stop milking the seven dwarf jokes now, but it won't make me happy. I'm here all week, folks. Reactive hypoglycemia happens when you eat a big meal and your blood sugar crashes. It's common for insulin-dependent diabetics to have this happen when they give themselves too much insulin. The condition is thought to be related to that excess of insulin. Low blood sugar not only makes you sleepy, it can cause rapid or irregular heart rate, anxiety, sluggishness, headaches, and dizziness. And again, there's lots of science on this. Reason number two, you'll have nausea, bloating, and gas. Oh my. Doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? Yeah, I thought so. As an adult, your stomach is roughly the size of a clenched fist. So clench your fist for me right now and take a look at it. That's about how big your stomach is when it's just at its resting state, okay? When it's empty, its volume is roughly 2.5 ounces, but that can expand to as much as a quart. These measures vary from person to person based on body size and how much you consistently eat. Now, overeating means overfilling your stomach or at least pushing its limits. Doing this regularly will lead to nausea and indigestion. Big meals push your stomach's limits, leading to that nauseous feeling. Push it too far, and that feeling will trigger vomiting. That's your stomach's way of saying enough already. Now, eating too much can also cause bloating and gas. And this is especially true when you eat those foods that are either fatty or spicy. Carbonated beverages like sodas can do it too. Healthier foods like whole grains, some vegetables, and of course beans are known to cause gas. In fact, beans even had a song made up about it. But these things don't seem to be the foods that people generally overeat. Part of the problem of the gas, nausea, and bloating caused by overeating is the fault of food makers. Now, stay with me here. A lot of processed foods are actually engineered to overcome your natural aversion to overeating. High sugar and saturated fat content tricks your digestive system into craving more of this stuff, even when you're full or you're getting near full. Of course, some of the problem is that some of your favorite foods, processed or not, taste really, really good and make you feel good. So you want to eat more of them. So slow down, control your portion sizes, chew your food, like your mom said, and let it enter your system slowly. This will help prevent nausea, bloating, and gas. Then again, you can just cram it all down like a crazy person and then rely on over-the-counter medications to relieve it. Reason number three to stop overeating, messed up digestive hormones. That doesn't sound like much, and you might be saying, meh, whatever, I don't really care, but it really, really matters. Normally, there's two key digestive hormones that keep your hunger and satiety, which means not hunger, in balance. Leptin suppresses your appetite while ghrelin fires it up. That's leptin and ghrelin, not leptin and gremlin. If it's been a while since you've eaten, ghrelin will tell your brain that it's time to eat. Once you've eaten, leptin tells your brain it's time to stop. When you overeat, especially those foods that are high in sugar, salt, and fat, you know, the delicious high-calorie ones, you get a little dopamine shot. Now, dopamine is a feel-good hormone that lights up the pleasure centers in your brain. Now, stay with me here. We're going somewhere. Your brain will then make the connection between these dopamine stimulating foods and pleasure sensations over time. This can wreak havoc with your body's ability to regulate hunger because of this new pattern of pleasure satisfying eating. This can lead you to eat for pleasure even when you aren't actually hungry. Obviously, this can lead to a vicious cycle of overeating. This can also be counteracted with portion control for those foods you know might, and you might be prone to overeating, along with eating them slowly. You'll enjoy them more and you'll know when you're full. Reason number four to avoid overeating: increased disease risk. Now, obviously, eating too much too often will lead to obesity. I'm going to get more on that in a minute. Obesity has been repeatedly shown to drive up your risk for a variety of diseases, and not just the obvious ones. Obesity and metabolic syndrome seem to go hand in hand. Now, I've written about the metabolic dysfunction and metabolic syndrome before. There's a whole body of evidence out there about it. It used to be called Syndrome X, and you know, I guess sometimes it still is. A lot of doctors brush it off, say, "Oh, it doesn't exist." It does. Okay, it's a real thing. And a lot of doctors brush it off, but if yours does, you might want to get a new doctor. Doctors define obesity as a body mass index of 30 or BMI of 30 or above. And while a lot of people argue about the value of using BMI to define obesity, there's little argument that metabolic syndrome is a serious issue. Just as a side note, I've worked with bodybuilders in the past who had BMIs of 30 when they were about to walk on stage. So the BMI is kind of a relative value. Body fat, on the other hand, isn't. We know what that is. And if your body fat's over, say for men, if your body fat's over about 30%, you're probably obese. For women, it could be a little bit lower, 28%. It really all depends. But you need to assess yourself in a real way. And if you need help with that stuff and you're in my area, reach out to me. I can help you for sure. Not find a good coach, someone who can help you with that. Getting back to metabolic syndrome, it's made up of a variety of conditions. It's usually indicated by high blood pressure, high blood lipid or fat levels, insulin resistance, and inflammation. Metabolic syndrome increases your risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and other health issues. So it's serious and it's for real. Insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes are very closely linked. Excess sugar in the bloodstream lowers insulin's ability to store blood sugar in your body's cells. Type 2 diabetes likely isn't far behind. The answer to improving your chances of avoiding disease isn't complicated. Limit processed foods and those high in sugar and calories. Eat whole foods, lots of vegetables, and limit your intake of starchy carbohydrates. It's just good advice anyway. Reason number five, you might get dopey. Yeah, I know. I promised to lay out the seven dwarf jokes. Last one, promise. Jokes aside, it's true. Eating too much over time can cause your brain to work less efficiently and even lead to loss of function. Recent research studies have shown a connection between obesity and habitual overeating and a decline in cognitive function, including memory, in older adults when compared with those who don't overeat. I actually wrote an article about this as well, where obesity was linked to a reduction and an impairment of brain plasticity, or your brain's ability to make connections. So this stuff's for real, right? Your brain does need fats, however. And after all, it is about 60% fat. Stick to the good fats like olive oil, fatty fishes like salmon and tuna, nut butters, and maybe even some avocados. That'll give your brain the fats it needs while giving you the best shot at enjoying good foods and avoiding the other issues related to overeating. Number six, this one should be obvious, folks, okay? Don't overeat because you'll get fat, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you a personal story, and I don't often do this here. Well, I do sometimes. I shouldn't say I don't often do it. I do it sometimes. Anyway, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, I put on about 15 pounds. I'm not proud of it. Not happy about it. My diet was crap. My habits were lousy. I'm fixing that now, and the weight's already starting to come off just by me going back to my old habits of eating better, avoiding less alcohol anyway, and getting my exercise back on. So I'm starting to get that going again. Now, you need to be aware of what overeating can do, because it can be subtle, and over time it can make you fatter and unhealthier, okay? You know that virtually every weight loss diet plan you could think of works exactly the same way. I'm gonna drop a knowledge bomb for you here, kids. That's right, every single diet plan on the planet works on the same principle: caloric deficit, expending more calories than you take in. This is an essential law of physics. If you put more energy into a system, its mass has to increase in order to accommodate that energy and that mass. For humans, that energy is measured in calories. Eating excess calories, more calories than you expend, leads to a caloric surplus. That caloric surplus will be converted to fat storage and your mass will increase. So if you overeat on a regular basis, you'll find yourself on the wrong end of a caloric balance with a surplus. Why do some diet plans work better for some people than other plans, you ask? Hey, it's not magic, not even rocket science. Different diets, the keto diet, paleo diet, Whole30, et cetera, they work differently for different people for a variety of reasons, some of which are satisfaction factors, convenience, intellectual acceptance, belief factors, and others. This can change over time too. What works for someone now may not work for them in 6 months or a year. That's why there's no one size fits all diet plan. And it may take you a little while to find the right one for you, the one you can live on, reduce your weight to your goal weight, and be happy with. Now, enough about how diets work. Sometimes it can seem like some foods are fine to overeat. For example, most people can overeat protein to some degree without seeing an increase in body fat. This is likely due to the differences in how your body metabolizes protein as compared to fats and carbohydrates. Now, that being said, a balanced diet that includes lean proteins, healthy fats, fruits, and high fiber vegetables is your best path to avoiding excess body fat. Next time you're faced with an opportunity to gorge on your favorite comfort foods, remember these pitfalls. There's nothing wrong with enjoying rich, delicious foods occasionally and in the right portion sizes, but habitually stuffing yourself with comfort foods, processed foods, and other foods high in fats, sugars, and salts can lead to some real health problems. This has been the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. I know you could have been doing something else and you chose to be here now, and I certainly appreciate that. Remember, you can reach me through the website, CoachPhilHouston.com, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N, on Instagram, at CoachPhilHouston, on Facebook, at CoachPhilHouston, and on Twitter, at PhilHoustons. Again, all three times, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. And as always, boys and girls, thank you. Thank you again, and keep the faith, and keep after it.